listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Well, you heard the man with the golden pipes. I'm Bernie Fratto, and we're coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios, where 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. So visit geico.com for a free rate quote. This is the weekend edition of Straight Outta Vegas, and I'm joined in studio by Steve Fezzik, the only two-time winner of the prestigious Hilton, now Westgate contest, super contest. And in the words of Oliver Wendell Holmes, man's mind stretched to a new dimension will never return to its original state. And that's our goal here, to stretch your mind and make you think. We're ready for takeoff, so put your seat backs forward and your tray tables upright. And as they say back in Sauk Rapids, it's going to be lit. This is Straight Outta Vegas, the pregame show you've always wanted. Fez, before we get to a full slate of some pretty hefty matchups tomorrow in the NFL, a little bit of house cleaning. The college football season is all done except for the shouting in the Final Four. Should be no surprise that Oklahoma will have worked its way into the number four slot. We believe Clemson will stay at three. But the talking point seems to revolve around whether or not Ohio State, who woke up this morning number one, won by double digits, will be unseated by LSU. That in the Bernie Fratto world, would I do that? No, but we both agree that we think the committee will not only put LSU number one, Ohio State two, Clemson three, Oklahoma four. Are we in agreement that LSU will probably be about a 10-point favorite over Oklahoma and Clemson about a 1-point favorite over Ohio State?
We are in agreement. We do think that the committee is going to go ahead and respond to that dominating performance by LSU versus the number four team in the land in the state of Georgia from start to finish, and the fact that Ohio State looked vulnerable. We expect LSU to get the number one seed and to be a double-digit, about a 10-point favorite against Oklahoma. And let's face it, Bernie, whoever gets that number one seed, and we think it's going to be LSU, that is an enormous advantage because there's three really exceptional teams, LSU, Ohio State, and Clemson, and the drop-off is huge down to Oklahoma, the number four seed.
We talked about that pre-show, and if for whatever reason Ohio State stays number one, which I believe they should, but I'm not predicting they will. I just believe they should. We would make Ohio State about an 11.5-point favorite over Oklahoma, and Clemson about a 4.5-point favorite over LSU should that happen.
Yeah, and a lot of people don't really understand that Clemson is better in our power ratings than LSU.
Right.
I don't know if, you know, I don't think they're 4.5 points separate anymore as good as LSU was today, but there's no question in Vegas' eyes that the two best teams in the land are Ohio State and Clemson.
All right, let's move on. One of the topics we want to talk about tonight is we head into December, and I said this last week, December's a big month in the NFL. They always remember what you did in December. There are a few coaches here we want to highlight that really do very well cashing for their betters, as it were, in the month of December, the least of which is Bruce Arians, a sparkling 18-8 against the spread in December in his career, 8-1 against the spread, coming off a loss. Bill Belichick, as I said on with Arnie and Aaron, and amazingly, he's 41-3 straight up at home since 2000. Belichick, a sparkling performance against the spread, 54-42. In his career. Mike Tomlin, very good too, 28-23, 9-2 against the spread as a pick or a dog. Now, they're in Arizona tomorrow. Doesn't apply here because they'll actually be a short favorite in Arizona. And let's not forget Andy Reid, Fez, 18-7 against the spread as a dog. Will that factor in tomorrow? We'll talk about that as the Chiefs visit New England as a 3-point dog.
You know, and I think we got to give credit to Tomlin. This could well be his best coaching year ever. Think about the expectations when Pittsburgh was 0-3 and we're talking about should they tank to get the number one pick, and here they are in a playoff race.
No Le'Veon Bell, no Big Ben, and no Antonio Brown. Yeah, and they are in the playoff race. And by the way, that segues, they were projected in their season total to win 9. Now, no one knew they were going to lose Ben Roethlisberger when that number was projected, but they're at 7 right now, and I think they do get to 9, which brings us to our other topic I want to talk about. because we talked about this a lot with Arnie and Aaron again back in August. Season totals, teams, you can bet whether or not you'll think they'll win more or less in the games that they're projected to win. Already, four NFL teams have cashed for their overbetters, the Ravens, the 49ers, the Bills, and Seahawks. What do I mean by that? Before the season, the Niners were projected to win eight games. If you wanted to bet the over, they had to win nine. They've already won 10. And if you projected that you wanted them to win the under, you get the picture. Of those four teams that have already hit their over, Fez, what sticks out to you? What storyline sticks most out to you?
Oh, Lamar Jackson is indeed the story. I had him rated as my number 29 quarterback going into the season. Bernie, he's my number 3 quarterback right now, right there behind Wilson and Mahomes.
And Baltimore, before the season, projected to win 8.5. You bet the over, well, you've already cashed nicely. They're at 10. On the other end of the spectrum, the teams that will fall under no matter what happens between now and New Year's, the Eagles, the Chargers, the Falcons, and Bengals. Which of those, Fez, sticks out to you?
You know, both the Eagles and the Chargers have had decimated injuries on offense and on defense. It has really train wrecked their seasons.
The Eagles stick out to me because they were projected to win 10 and they've only won 5. But one team I can't move forward without just mentioning ever so briefly, the lovable Cleveland Browns. Vegas, we talked about this, Fez. The books poised to cash a nice profit. Cleveland projected to win 9. That was kind of the aggregate. That was a steam number. Some books put up 9.5. People continue to bet the over. Cleveland is stuck on 5 wins. They're not getting over 9. The best they can do if they sweep the board when their next 4 is land on 9.
And the public was cutting in line to bet the Browns not only over 9, but to win the division, to win the AFC, and to win the Super Bowl. Shocker, Vegas wins again.
One last bit of business I just want to spend 10 seconds on. The Josh Shaw story, the NFL player who we now know went into Caesar's Palace, used his player's card, bet a significant amount. It was more than $1,000. It might have been $3,000. I don't know. Three-team parlay involving his team, the Arizona Cardinals. Look, he's suspended through the 2020 season. This should come as no surprise to anybody who's been paying attention. Roger Goodell and the league established an NFL gambling policy in 2015. It was updated in 2018. Section 2.1 is very clear. If you're an NFL employee and you don't have to be a player, you can be a trainer, you can drive the golf cart around, whatever, a cameraman, whatever it is you do for an NFL team, you are not allowed to bet on football, basketball, baseball, hockey, strictly prohibited. You know better. There's no reason Josh Shaw should not have known that. This is a subject matter we're going to tackle a lot more when we get into 2020. You may recall I had Rob Misch, best-selling author here in Las Vegas, joined me on some shows last year. We're now up to 19 states that have legalized betting. It continues to be a topic where there's conversation points and more information. Rob also has a book out, Betting for Winners is the name of his book. You can get it on Amazon. And the bottom line is, as we get into 2020, we will talk more. We want to focus on these games and get to them immediately here. But subjects like this will come up periodically, Fez. And I guess we can't expect everybody to know, but the reality of it is Roger Goodell, in spite of, legalized gambling now working its way across America, is still somewhat draconian when it comes to players and protecting the integrity of the league.
Yeah, integrity is critical. And let's face it, I'm sure there's a lot of NFL players that have friends place wagers for them on NFL games. And Goodell is sending a message, hey, if you get caught doing anything like that, you're not going to be able to play for over a year. And I think that that's right. I think set the bar high and preserve the integrity of the game completely.
The optics are not great. All right, neither are the optics for the L.A. Chargers, who visit Jacksonville laying 3 points. I'm calling this the Fugly Bowl. But Gardner Minshew mania returns. He was only 4-4 as a starter. Doug Marrone's fighting for his job. So he's had enough with Nick Foles. Minshew, although he was 4-4 as a starter, passed for over 2,000 yards, Fez. 11 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. The L.A. Chargers only 2-4 against the number on the road this year. 3-8 against the spread overall. And they're laying points on the road.
Yeah, a whole lot going on in this game. You know, I'll make the case Jacksonville was a dead team before the change in quarterback, blown out the last four games. And what I saw, Bernie, is after they got down by more than 14 points, they weren't coming back. They were still getting dominated in the second half. And I like the fact that Jacksonville went ahead and responded and won the second half, albeit it was only 11-3 and too late, with the stash coming back. So better energy for Jacksonville. This Charger team, all they do is win the stats and lose the game. The last 3 weeks, the Chargers have been impressive in the stats, and yet have three L's to show for it. Anthony Lynn not getting it done with coaching decisions, and Phillip Rivers a liability in the fourth quarter.
Boy, Phillip Rivers, he reminds me of a guy who's trying to fly a helicopter 20 miles, and he's only got 18 miles worth of gas. He went off a cliff. I cannot be involved on the Chargers. However, later in the show, when we give our best bets, we may circle back to that game. Wink, wink, nod, nod. A game I really want to spend a lot of time talking about. The Patriots hosting the Chiefs, laying three, New England laying three. Now, the first eight games, Fez, Pats were 8-0, averaging 31 points a game, only allowing seven. Last four games, they're 2-2, only scoring 18 points a game, 1-3 against the number in their last four. However, you heard that Bill Belichick number, 41-3 at home in Foxborough in December in his career. Now, why do I bring that up? Because one of the narratives this week has been, can the Buffalo Bills actually catch New England and possibly win the AFC East? No, I'm not buying it. I'll get some stats later on as to why I'm not buying it. But I will say this. The Patriots, home favorites of four or less points in the last 25 games, 16-7-2 against the number. I like New England in this game.
You know, we might be going head-to-head. I hate to go against the Patriots, though, so it would be a small bet for me. But, Bernie, this is all about Kansas City being underrated in my eyes. I'm going to make a bold statement. Kansas City's going to the Super Bowl, and here's why. That defense for Kansas City, yes, it's not stellar, but they're ranked number 15 in Football Outsiders now. Last year, by contrast, they were 26. A huge improvement, and under their new defensive coordinator, they have been getting better. And the offense for Kansas City, I keep hearing, oh, it's not quite the same. Well, that's because they've had six games they've been compromised at quarterback. They had Matt Moore play quarterback three games and three games with Mahomes when he was not close to 100% with ankle and knee injuries. Mahomes is going to be just fine in January. Good luck beating this team, even if you're New England or Baltimore. Kansas City, Super Bowl.
I feel like this is a get-right game for the Pats tomorrow night. They're 88-12 straight up in their last 100 in Foxborough. They're coming off a loss. I'm really going to enjoy watching this game, as I'm going to enjoy watching Baltimore, Buffalo, and many others, which we are going to get to. We're going to get to all of them. Want to hear something amazing? Discover matches all the cash back you earn at the end of your first year automatically, with no limit to how much we'll match. Millions of people a year are getting their cash back matched. Discover cash back match. What are you waiting for? Learn more at discover.com/cashback match. I'm Bernie Fratto. He's Steve Fezzik. We're coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio Studios, and this is the pregame show you always wanted. So don't go away. You're listening to Straight Out of Vegas.
Straight Out of Vegas!
Here, back on Straight Out of Vegas, the pregame show you always wanted. I'm Bernie Fratto, coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio Studios. What does it mean when Geico says just 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance? Means you probably should have gone to geico.com 15 minutes ago. Fez, a game that's getting a lot of attention. The Buffalo Bills home hosting the visiting Baltimore Ravens. Should be an interesting quarterback duel, as it were, Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen. My initial reaction was, I feel Baltimore's overpriced here. The line got as high as 6.5. 80% of the money is on the Ravens. Give the Bills credit. Their defense has been superb when it comes to points per game allowed, yards per game allowed, pass TDs allowed. They rank second or third in all those categories. In fact, both defenses have been outstanding. Combined, allowing 33 points makes me want to wonder if I look at the under, but here's the bottom line. This Baltimore team's pretty good. Against top 10 defenses this season, they're not only 3-0 straight up, they're averaging almost 28 points a game and running the ball to the tune of 176 yards per game. And Lamar Jackson, he scored six touchdowns by himself against top 10 defenses. Give me your thoughts on this game.
Yeah, and Baltimore is very good. They're my number one NFL team in my power rating, so I have them power rated through the moon, so to speak. And I only have Buffalo as my number 13 team. So you think maybe I prefer Baltimore, but I don't. I like Buffalo in this game because I've got a numeric power rating for every team. And when I do the Fez math on this game, I came up with a line of 3.5. So think about this, Bernie. If my line's 3.5 and I can get 6.5 on a game, that is an auto bet. And I'll make the case.
Oh my goodness, you're crossing through key numbers.
Yeah, I'll make the case that this is the number one pros versus Joes game where that the Joes out there are all like, Lamar Jackson, he's fantastic. And Baltimore's on this 8-game winning streak and they've been playing so well. I have to bet Baltimore. And I can tell you, I know a lot of pros. They're professional gamblers, and they are salivating at the idea of getting the Buffalo Bills plus 7. I don't know if they're going to get 7 tomorrow. I think we're going to have to settle for 6.5, maybe even 6. But Buffalo, in my opinion, is the right side.
Like I said, my knee-jerk reaction was that Baltimore, in spite of all their success, overpriced here. Might we have a similar situation in Green Bay where the Packers, Fez, laying 13 points against the visiting Washington Redskins? Is, you know, we are in December now. Aaron Rodgers in his career, 17-3 straight up, 15-5 against the number in December. Meanwhile, juxtapose that against the fact that the Redskins only 1-9 against the spread when they go on the road to face a non-division opponent after following a home game. Add all that up, put it in a blender, and we still have the same narrative every week. The Packers D continues to regress.
Yeah, the Packers D looked so good those first 3 weeks. Think about it. We're talking about the Smith brothers, Zadarius, Amos at safety. This is going to be a top 10 defense. Uh-oh. Latest ranking for the Green Bay defense, number 22. And let's face it, that defense is soft against the run. We saw the Chargers run all over them when Green Bay went to L.A. and they blamed it. Green Bay did on the L.A. flu. They played so badly in that game. Bottom line is Washington runs the ball under Callahan. And now it's not just Adrian Peterson. What is he, 90? Still doing very well, but they've got Geis from LSU back. And this last week was his coming out party. Ran for over 100 yards. He's been missing in action, injured for Washington. Now that they've got a two-headed monster to run the ball against that soft Green Bay rush defense, I can only look towards Washington in this game.
A lot of points. It's a lot of points. Another game where I think there's a lot of points being laid here, Houston at home laying 9.5 against the visiting Denver Broncos. Deshaun Watson, as we all know, he's been superb as an underdog, 11-4 against the spread in his short career as a dog, but only 7-10-2 against the number as a favorite, laying a fairly big number here. And you brought up a good point in pre-show prep. Might Houston come down a little bit from the high after beating the Super Bowl champs?
Yeah, just in general, you usually don't want to bet on a team that upsets the Super Bowl champ the week before. It makes a lot of sense that they're celebratory. And I can make the case that New England has owned Houston. So that win was so critical to Houston. It looked like they've been practicing their air guitar skits for weeks before that game, and they were more than happy to use it over and over as they shut Brady and company down. But now I could see Houston not being fully up for this game. So I want to bet on Denver. The problem is Denver got the phoniest of phony wins, Drew Lock and company, against the Chargers, where the Chargers basically handed the game away for Denver to win. I don't like Drew Lock. I can't bet Denver. I'm passing.
Yeah, I can't bet either side of this game, and I don't trust Denver to score any points either. So other games, we'll move on. A game that's attracting a tremendous amount of attention. Again, Arnie and Aaron talked about this quite a bit. New Orleans laying 2.5 at home against the San Francisco 49ers. Now, the last three seasons, after a win, the Saints have been very good, 66% against the spread. The Niners bring a unique challenge to Drew Brees and company, though. They've got the type of defense that can pressure a quarterback without actually blitzing. They're so athletic on defense. Meanwhile, San Fran, they stayed in Bradenton, Florida this week. They didn't travel all the way home. That worked earlier in the year when they stayed in Youngstown, Ohio. Another big game test for Jimmy G, but your guy, Fez, give it up. 69% of his passes completed this year, 101 passer rating. This might shape up to be a nice little QB duel between Drew Brees and Jimmy G. And again, let's not bury the lead. Two very productive defenses, both San Francisco and New Orleans, score very well in points per game allowed. San Francisco has the edge, only allowing 15 points per game this year. Both teams get to the quarterback north of 40 sacks. Both teams get plenty of takeaways. One final thought on this game. San Fran, they've been a road underdog four times this year. They're 3-1 straight up. They've won three of them outright, and they're 4-0 against the spread. Do they make it 5-0 tomorrow in New Orleans?
You know, I've actually flipped on this game. Initially, I liked New Orleans. I liked Drew Brees, a big upgrade over Bridgewater, and Brees has been playing very well, and Kamara missed three games. So that makes New Orleans undervalued. But the more I look into this and I look at the injury reports, Bernie, I can only look towards betting San Francisco. I think this is sharp money that took the +3 and the +2.5 on San Francisco. And if you look at this injury report, San Francisco probably going to get Staley back at tackle, D Ford coming back, Breida coming back at running back, cluster injuries for the Saints on O-line and linebacker.
Good point.
I think San Francisco's going to get the win.
I forgot to mention that. One of the issues here is the Saints do have some injuries at O-line and linebacker. The question is, can San Francisco exploit that? This is almost like a de facto playoff game tomorrow in New Orleans as you start to jockey for position. I want to step out of order real quickly. Carolina, Atlanta, Fez. Atlanta -3 here. Carolina, let's not bury the lead. No Ron Rivera. And they're in a four-game losing skid. Do you have any thoughts on this game?
Yeah, I do. So this line was 2. Atlanta was laying 2. Now Atlanta's laying 3.5. Now, this is a puzzling line move because I can tell you, pulling back the curtain on how the pros bet professional sports, when we see a coach fired, Bernie, typically we want to bet on that team, whether the coach was liked or whether the coach was hated. The team usually responds very well to a coach firing, be it MLB, be it NHL, be it NFL. But what has happened here? Rivera's been fired, and all the money has come on Atlanta. What's going on? I think that Rivera was very well liked by the players.
Loved.
And so you're seeing so many things on Twitter where Kuechly's coming out talking about how great Rivera was and what a great experience it was. Same with the quarterback. And I think the Carolina's going to be flat from this firing. I can only look to Atlanta.
They're going to be a story to watch. This new owner's one of these Wall Street guys who's an analytics guy. He's going to bring in his own guy. And Carolina's a kind of a story to watch. I'm interested. This is an owner that really wants to win. And the only other thing I can say about this game, Fez, even though I'm not involved, is Atlanta, and we all forget, it seems like a long, they played Thursday 10 days ago. They'll have a little bit more time to prepare. Does that, you know, factor at all in?
Oh, it's a slight advantage, you know, having extra time. But Jekyll and Hyde, Atlanta, who knows how this team's going to play. They win at New Orleans. They win at Carolina. They get blown out at home against Tampa Bay. They have been as volatile as any team in the NFL.
All right, coming up, a game I really want to spend a fair amount of time on, Cincinnati-Cleveland. And then you've got Detroit-Minnesota, Indy-Tampa Bay, Pittsburgh-Arizona, Tennessee-Oakland, which has plenty of storylines, and then, of course, Seattle and the Rams. We're going to get to all of these games, including best bets. But first, well, let's go to the man who actually turned down the chance to play Olaf in the hit movie Frozen 2. It's Brian Finley with the latest.
Thank you so much, Bernie. Love the intro. And number one, Ohio State, overcoming a dismal start in the Big Ten championship game and then outscoring number 8 Wisconsin 27-0 in the second half. Ohio State wins it 34-21. Justin Fields, 3 touchdown passes. And afterwards, Buckeyes head coach Ryan Day proclaiming why his team should get that highest seed in the playoffs.
When you look at the wins we've had, we beat Wisconsin when they were a top 10 team twice. 3 games in a row we play like this to win the way we did and to show the character of the way we won. You know, we've won some big games this year. We've got up on teams. And, you know, it's kind of easy when things are going well. Right. Things didn't go well today. We won an ugly game, and I think it shows the character of this team.
Clemson did not win ugly. Number 3 team in the land, destroying number 23 Virginia 62-17 to win the ACC title. Trevor Lawrence dazzling with 4 touchdown tosses, 3 going to T. Higgins. That's 5 straight conference championships for the Tigers and 5 straight trips to the college football playoff. Number 2 LSU waxes number 4 Georgia 37-10. Joe Burrow, 349 yards passing and 4 scores. 6th ranked Oklahoma survives a scare, winning in overtime against number 7 Baylor 30-23. The Bears had to rely on a third string quarterback to help them at the end after their first 2 QBs suffered injuries. Online car shopping can be confusing, but not anymore with True Price from True Car. Now you can know the exact price you'll pay for your next car, so visit True Car to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. And finally, number 17, Memphis, winning against number 20, Cincinnati, 29-24 to capture the AAC championship. And Mike Norvell, head coach of the Tigers, on, according to reports, on his way to Florida State to be their next head coach. Back to Bernie Fratto and the fellows at Straight Out of Vegas.
All right, thank you very much, Brian. Appreciate it there, buddy. Great news. There's a quick and easy way you could save money. Switch to Geico. It only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com, see how much you could save. Fez, I've been looking forward to talking about this game more than any other ones because of all the talking points. The Cleveland Browns home against Cincinnati. I saw the line get as high as 8.5. Where is it at now? I think some Cincy money's come in.
Yeah, down to 7 in most books.
All right, so this is a game, by the way, that Colin Cowherd liked in his Blazing 5. He likes the home favorite here, and I don't blame him. Look, Cleveland, to me, has settled into a role. Maybe they're bum slayers. Maybe that's what they're good for. But when I look at this Cleveland Browns team, Fez, and I factor these things into my handicap, where the hell is their focus? Last week, you got their coach, Freddie Kitchens, wearing that goofy T-shirt in Pittsburgh. Then you got Odell Beckham, who's always a treat behind the microphone. He goes into this soliloquy about where he's going to be next year, and God's got a plan. Translation, he can't wait to get traded, right? He said last year they were sending him to Cleveland to die. It looks like he's died, and he just hasn't had time to lay down. He doesn't want to be there. This whole thing about long-term, where am I going with this? And this is why I can't bet Cleveland tomorrow. Doubt has officially been inserted. They beat their chest. They were supposed to win 10 games. Show up, turn on the lights. It's going to be too easy. Even their announcers bought in the preseason, and you see what's happened, all right? I believe doubt has been inserted into the Cleveland Browns. It's like the old joke, and once it takes root in your head, someone else put it there, and it's there, and they haven't performed on the field. It's like the old joke about the guy that owned the pet shop, and he had a parrot. And this parrot was not a nice parrot. And this lady walks by the pet store, and the parrot says, "Hey, lady." She goes, "What?" He goes, "You're ugly." And she gets a big kick out of it, think that parrot's just kidding around. Next day, she walks by the pet store again, and the parrot says, "Hey, lady, what? You're ugly." She kind of gives the parrot a dirty look. She goes by the pet store the third day. It says, "Hey, lady, what? You're ugly." That's it. She marches right in, goes to the owner, and says, "I don't like your parrot calling me ugly." The owner says, "Ma'am, I am so sorry. I apologize profusely. I will correct the situation." Next day, the lady's walking by the pet store, and the parrot says, "Hey, lady." She goes, "What?" He goes, "You know." What's the moral? The Cleveland Browns, to me, do not look like a confident team. By the way, the Bengals, 4-1 against the spread. As a true road underdog this year, this season, 8-1 against the number, their last 9, Andy Dalton, the Red Rifle back. You want to bet the Browns? Have fun. They may well cash tomorrow because maybe they're good enough to be bum slayers. They're getting none of my money.
Well, Bernie, doubt was inserted week one when Cleveland got crushed at home against the Tennessee Titans. Doubt got reinforced in a Monday night football game when Freddie Kitchens would not run the ball in the red zone with the game on the line. We're way past doubt. We are at dream crusher status. Cleveland's 5-7. They know playoffs are not realistic. 3% chance Cleveland has to make the playoffs. The Bengals, bottom line, back with Dalton. They sent a clear message to the team. Hey, we are trying to win games. And Dalton, although not a top 10 quarterback, is light years better than Ryan Finley. The pros were on the Bengals in this game. I agree with the move. Baker Mayfield may not be 100% with the hand injury from last week.
Such a shame. Cleveland is a great city. They deserve a winner. Maybe down the road, this assemblage of talent can figure it out. They never had me once fooled. This year, the Minnesota Vikings, a team I actually root for, they're laying 13 tomorrow against the visiting Detroit Lions. They're on the short list. Kirk Cousins back in that comfortable time slot. The only angle on this game, Fez, it's even worth mentioning, though, if you're looking from a handicapping standpoint, because it is a lot of points. The Lions are actually 8-2 against the number as a double-digit dog when they're coming off a loss. Vikings minus 13 tomorrow, divisional tilt against Detroit. as they go for the season sweep. Thoughts?
Yeah, I'm going to pass this game. I'll lean to Detroit simply because I don't know if the Viking key offensive weapons are going to be 100%. I don't know if Thielen's even going to play. I know that both the wide receiver Diggs and the running back Cook got all banged up Monday night. Now they got a wheel back on short weeks. It would not surprise me if Zimmer went ahead and didn't give these players as many touches as they normally get, keeping the Vikings from covering the 13. I'll lean Lions plus 13.
Yeah, it would be a lean at best because you're backing a team, a stew bum team that can turn the ball over and do all kinds of crazy things. Vikings are good, and they might just step on their neck tomorrow. However, it's a, you know, win it, get in, get out, nobody get hurt, move on. Jets at home against Miami laying 5. The New York Jets, round 2, what I call the Adam Gase Bowl. As you recall, Dolphins won 28-16 as a 3-point home dog 5 weeks ago. The fabulous rematch, Miami and the Jets laying 5.
You know, I'm going to pass this game amazingly, and I did not think I'd be saying this in September. I like both quarterbacks and what they've been doing of late. Now, Ryan Fitzpatrick, after a horrific start to the season, his stats year to date, he is number 8 in QBR, better than Breeze, better than Rodgers, better than Brady. And think about that, Bernie. He's number 8 despite having these horrible stats the first 2 weeks. But Darnold is improving. If you look at his ratings over the past, since the first 4 games, he was awful the first 4 games. He's actually rounded into being an above average quarterback. If you take out those first 4 games with both quarterbacks playing much better, I'm going to pass the game.
Yeah, I'm with you. Tampa Bay, the other Florida team at home, laying 3 against Indianapolis. Bruce Arians, head coach of the Tampa Bay Bucs. We alluded to this in the beginning of the show. He's been outstanding in December, 19-8 against the spread in December games. But the Bucs, they'll drive you nuts. They'll shorten your life. 22 turnovers in the last 7 games. But they've been hot. They've been profitable. And the wise guys and their money is starting to back this team with good results.
Yes, and the wise guys, frankly, have been betting the Bucs with bad results. And so now that they're actually cashing their tickets, they've been betting the Bucs seemingly the last 6 weeks. I expect more money on Tampa Bay. Bottom line is Indy is in trouble here without T.Y. Hilton. The book on Indy is just not enough offensive weapons. Remember, they lost Funchess, their number 2 wide receiver, very early in the year. Their tight end Eric Ebron is on IR. And with T.Y. Hilton missing again, when T.Y. Hilton doesn't play for the Colts are 1-7 straight up and against the spread, and they fail to cover on an average by 8.3 points. I'm not saying T.Y. Hilton's worth 8 points, but he's critical to this team. I can only look to the
1,000%. And I was on Tampa Bay a couple weeks ago as my best bet when they were catching 4.5 and thumped Atlanta. They've been a dog mostly. Now you dress them up as a favorite. I don't like them nearly as much in that role. We've still got Pittsburgh, Arizona, Tennessee, Oakland, and Seattle Rams. Some key NFL clashes to wrap up your Sunday. We'll get to all of them plus best bets. I'm Bernie Fratto. We're coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. This is the pregame show you always wanted. So don't go away. You're listening to Straight Outta Vegas.
Straight Outta Vegas!
We are back on Straight Outta Vegas, the pregame show you always wanted. I'm Bernie Fratto. He's Steve Fezzik. We're coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. And before we go any further, I want to thank my broadcast team back in Los Angeles, turning all the dials, keeping us glued together, doing all the real important work. That would be Chris Perfett, Eric Roberts, and Brian Finley. Thanks so much, guys. Appreciate everything you do. Fez, let's head to Arizona. They are currently a 3-point underdog to the visiting Pittsburgh Steelers. The Cardinals are a non-cover in their last 5 games. But the real question here is, can Pittsburgh avoid the proverbial letdown after last week's very emotional win over Cleveland? This is a team that has designs on making the playoffs. I think they can do it. Mike Tomlin gets my vote for coach of the year right now. No Big Ben, no Le'Veon Bell, no Antonio Brown, no excuses. But Fez, it would be terrible if they went in tomorrow and laid an egg at Arizona, where they are currently a 3-point favorite.
Yeah, and Blue Horseshoe loves the Arizona Cardinals. The bettors don't think Pittsburgh can do it because that 3-point spread has dropped down to 1.5 to 2. And I agree with this line move, actually, Bernie, and it's all about sure, doesn't this seem like the game that Pittsburgh exhales after playing like Cleveland twice, and now they're a road favorite, and this is typically the spot where Cleveland has underperformed in the past, and at some point, having Juju Smith-Schuster injured, having no James Conner, it's going to catch up to Duck Hodges. Even if he is an upgrade over Rudolph, he's still a backup quarterback that's unproven, and frankly, I like the spot for Arizona. They played so badly last week against the Rams. Of course, I'm concerned that maybe Kyler Murray's hamstring is bothering him. But if I looked at what this line would have been last week, it would have been pick'em. And now I'm getting points with Arizona in a bounce back spot. I am looking to bet Arizona.
There's another situation here, too. The Steelers have played three straight games against division foes. Now you go on the road against a non-division foe under 500. Historically, they've not been good in these situations. It's a little bit of a trap for the Steelers. I can't take credit for being involved in this game, but I think everything you say is right, Fez. Buyer beware if you're going to lay the short road favorite here. All right, another game that I think has great interest and, frankly, is another de facto playoff game. I say that a lot, but this one is. The second wild card spot is up. Now, the Raiders have a very slim chance of making the playoffs, but Tennessee is in line if they don't screw it up. They hold their fate. They're laying three. The Titans are laying three at Oakland tomorrow. One thing that sticks out to me, though, Fez, Oakland was pounded by Kansas City last week on the scoreboard, but somehow managed to outgain the Chiefs by 1.4 yards per play. But you juxtapose that against the fact that Ryan Tannehill, who's looked pretty good, but is only 3-9 against the spread as a starter on the road in his career. And I got to believe that Oakland crowd is going to be crazy tomorrow.
Yeah, a whole lot going on in this game. Let's talk about Tennessee here. And I agree that Tannehill has been a huge upgrade over Mariota, but it's not because Tannehill is a top 10 quarterback. It's because Mariota is a bottom 5 quarterback, and now they've essentially replaced him with an average quarterback. So that has been a big upgrade. But the reason Tennessee is winning, I'm going to make the case, Bernie, sometimes it's just random chance. And Tennessee, I'm going to make the case, is overrated. They're 5-1 their last six games, but look at some of these wins. Anyone who bet the Chargers against Tennessee is still pulling their hair out. The Chargers scored three times, seemingly, in the final 30 seconds. They were all disallowed or called back. The Chargers lost that game. Tennessee didn't win. Kansas City, they lost their game against Tennessee. Kansas City had a 98% chance to win with 90 seconds to go. So Tennessee's been fortunate in their wins. They block a field goal, run it back for a touchdown against Indy. Because they're overrated, Tennessee is, I like Oakland plus the three.
One quick aside, they're actually going to have some weather tomorrow in Oakland. Could be rain, could be windy. Thoughts?
My weather guy, and yes, I have one, tells me the bad weather is really going to hit after the game, should not impact the game much.
Okay, that's very good to know, because that can affect the total. And that number of 47 seems a bit high to me. But be that as it may, it's something I don't want to overthink at this point. All right, another game tomorrow that, at least from a fan standpoint, I'm going to enjoy watching, because these are two teams. You know, I mean, you got a team that was in the Super Bowl last year that's clearly underachieved. We're talking about the L.A. Rams, right? They're hosting Seattle. Right now, the Rams catching a point. The Seahawks going for the season sweep. We talked about this pre-show. I think it bears mentioning. Let's not bury this lead. The Rams, they've not been good against winning teams this year. That's an understatement. They're 1-4 versus teams with a winning record. And even in their win over New Orleans in week 2, people forget that's the game Drew Brees got hurt, left the game in the second quarter. Let's not also forget Russell Wilson in primetime. He's the man. 25-5 straight up, 23-7-1 against the spread, a passer rating of 105. He's thrown in his career in these primetime games, 59 touchdowns against 16 interceptions. One thing going for the Rams, their offense woke up last week, but in truth, so did their defense, as they held the Arizona Cardinals to a season low 198 yards last week.
Yeah, and I love Russell Wilson, love what he's been doing for Seattle. I love how clutch Seattle has been. I'll argue Seattle's also been lucky. Seattle's 9-1 in close games as decided by games decided by 8 points or less. You know, it's great that they beat the Rams when the teams played the first time, but it wasn't Russell Wilson blocking Greg Zuerlein's game-winning field goal. It was Greg missing the field goal. And that's ultimately that one game changed the records of these teams so significantly that we think, oh, Seattle's three games better than the Rams. The narrative would be they're only one game better if that field goal is indeed good. And I'll make the case Seattle's gotten some breaks in terms of injuries and the like. They got to play Philly, for instance, 2 weeks ago when Philly was missing all their wide receivers and Seattle won that game by 8 points. And so if you look at the points differential of these two teams, they look pretty equal to me. How equal? Seattle's outscored their opponents by 36 points. The Rams have outscored their opponents by 33 points. Pretty darn equal teams. I will take the Rams at Pick'em. They are my best bet.
That's what I was about to say. So this is your best bet tomorrow. The Rams at a Pick'em to hold serve at home against the visiting Seahawks and keep their slim playoff hopes alive.
And with a nice revenge spot, having blown the game in the first meeting.
Good point. Yes, I mentioned that Seattle was going for the season sweep, but you're right. The Rams blew that lead. Probably that sticks in their craw. All right, I'm going to circle back to one of our earlier games for my best bet. As I mentioned, Minshew Mania returns. This guy's throwing for 2,000 yards this year, man. And the Chargers, he's facing the Chargers, Jacksonville, and they're getting 3.5 points on the at home, where the Chargers are 2-4 against the spread on the road this year, 3-8-1 against the number overall. Take Jacksonville plus the points tomorrow. That, folks, is going to do it for this week's edition of Straight Out of Vegas. I'm Bernie Fratto. Next up, the man from Nashville. It's time for the Jason Martin Show. Keep it locked.
Straight Out of Vegas!